Let's sit. Let's learn. Let's evolve. Let's talk.
No more whispering in our mind.
Today is Let's Talk Black Excellence with your host, Dan Rennie.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Before I begin, I'd like to stop to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we broadcast from today and pay our respects to elders past and present. A big shout out to all the traditional owners right across the country where our program goes out to. It's great to have your company. And welcome to Friday's edition of Let's Talk Black Excellence for another week. Thanks for your company. Music there from the Deadly, Will Barton, and of course, we're lucky enough to be catching up with him today here on Let's Talk. William, firstly, your mob, your
good
country.
Morning, brother. Yeah, Kalkadunga, Mount Isa, very honoured to be on your program, brother, and have a yarn.
We always love having you on, bros. You're an inspiration to many. Of course, you know, perhaps one of the best didgeridoo players in the world, and of course the leading didgeridoo player in the classical world. I'd love to know how that, you know, I'd love to know how that mashup came about. You know, the classical and the traditional.
Well, look, you know, I always yarn about mum and about her journey, and mum used to play classical music to me growing up, you know, and before I was born into this world, and so that was sort of embedded in my DNA along with our culture, you know, of our ancestors and having a musical family. Dad used to play guitar, even though he worked for the old PMG, the Postmaster General. So Dad was a part of all the old crew that put up the telephone poles back in the day, the hard jacker days. But would go to the Mount Isa Folk Club too. And, you know, I just had like anyone sort of our age, you know, had a sort of mixture of country and western at home, to the R&B, then, you know, like your flavour sort of taste because of the different influences. So then I listened to my Metallica and my AC/DC, and so music to me was just like this a language, you know, and me understanding that it was a language that stems from our elders, you know, because that our actual speaking language is a way of communicating. But then with the doo-doo, the yadaki, the yigi, like it was my language that I guess I was drawn into the spiritual the mystery of the sound as a young person listening to the aura, you know, the sound of that old uncle playing. I was really drawn into that, you know, and so that was sort of that journey. And, you know, stepping back a long time ago, like to that first orchestral concert when I was 17. I was barely 17 years old. My dad just passed away. And it was for the University of Queensland ABT International Fair. And so it was when the Queensland Orchestra and the Queensland Philharmonic Orchestra first came together as one sort of orchestra then. And so I performed there, you know, straight from Mount Isa with mum. I didn't know how to read or write music, but the music was in my soul, you know, to I guess, interpret what I was listening to that Western orchestra music, you know.
You talk about the mystery of the didgeridoo, the yudiki. You know, there's a lot of myths, I suppose, surrounding it, and a lot of misconception as well when it comes to the dig. Can you talk a little bit about some of those?
I guess, you know, apart from it being this worldly instrument, yeah, it always stems back to, you know, it's ceremonial use and it's cultural use, you know. My personal experiences, and this is just my personal experiences, you know, where, you know, it is a men's instrument primarily, that we think of it as a men's instrument, you know. But my mum, Auntie Delme Barton, she was given permission to play in a certain way by my uncle. And my old uncle, he was an old lawman, you know, so he was a full-blooded lawman, so that was that one little journey of me understanding that in that cultural way, that permission thing was a certain path. But I always say that the people, doesn't matter if they're, you know, a man or woman coming from different mobs or, you know overseas, you know, like, just really respect the mob that you go to, you know, to that land there, because the protocols, you know, might be similar, but there could be specific protocols for the do you do or what you sing, you know, in public. You know, I've just been fortunate to sort of cradle those two worlds, you know, hopefully with the great intention and respect that I hope to, you know, let people know that I'm here and I'm listening. So, you know, if I'm doing something wrong, you tell me, you know. But then all that musical experiences and those experiences with the elders as well, I take that on my shoulders with my pride, and, you know, it's okay for me to, you know, do that special moment with mum sometimes, you know, but that's for a special occasion, you know.
I'm interested to know what the reaction is like when, you know, an older, predominantly white, I suppose, and unfamiliar with Aboriginal culture, audience sees you play didge for the first time in an orchestra setting. I mean, what's that reaction that you get?
I think from their perspective, it's a sense of feeling of landscape, and that's that landscape that, brother, we're all connected to, you know. Doesn't matter if you're black, white, blue or brindle, we're all connected somehow. And so when that person, you know, of an older age and non-Indigenous, you know, listens to that feeling and they get the translation of me playing a traditional instrument with a Western Symphony Orchestra, they make the connection to what's important, I think. But that, again, that comes through me, through the old people, you know, and the intention of, I want to connect to everyone in the audience, and I want you to be in tune with our culture. And so if you want to learn more about the culture, then you can come and experience that on country, you know, with the appropriate elders, with the appropriate mob. And so it's that continuum of the journey of the storytelling of our people, you know. And so I'm just utilizing that sonic force, I like to call it, the sonic force of the symphony orchestra, storytelling in a Western world, you know. And then I just want to make a reference point there, like, you know, because my experience lies a lot in the classical world. I look at the classical composers, like the big old time composers like Mahler and Bach and Sibelius, you know, and Vivaldi, and that they wrote about their country, you know, in of course they're writing it down on a piece of paper with black dots, but our ancestors have been doing that too in a different way, you know, with the oral tradition. And so I found the feeling when I listened to the classical music as a young child or young kid, into my early teens, that there was a feeling there that I could translate or amplify with the didgeridoo, you know, and that just comes from, I guess, the musical upbringing, you know, they have that musical palette, that canvas to draw upon the inspiration from classical music to our own traditional music, and then of course the intention of message, you know, the message. What's the message, brother? What's the statement, you know? My old uncle, when he's, you know, still alive, you know, people are drawn to that sound and his playing, and he used to play with mum as well. And so mum had that operatic voice, and she still has, you know, and I'm still very grateful that we actually perform together still, you know, and along with my partner, Veronique Soray, on violin.
Listening to Let's Talk on Triple A Murray Country, and my guest today is the one and only William Barton. Brussels, a big year last year for you, you know, winning awards all over the place, and then sort of, you know, I guess the culmination of jumping up and performing at the AFL Grand Final. That was a That was incredible to watch, and even thinking about it now as a punter, puts the hairs up on the back of the neck. Can you talk about, I guess the year that was 2022?
Yeah, it was pretty special, you know, and what made it more special was, like, just, you know, I was away, you know, getting one award with the Australian Music Screen Association and for the film River. And then, but meantime, Mum was, you know, representing, I guess, the Barton clan at the Queensland Australian of the Year Awards in Brisbane. And so Mum accepted that on my behalf. And so that was really special, you know, because, you know, our aunties and uncles and, you know, those before us, you know, they've sacrificed a lot, Brother Ray, you know, for us to be in our safe space, you know, for you to do what you're doing now, or for me to travel the world, you know, Mum sacrificed, you know, a huge lot. So, you know, for any award that I get, it's for Mum, you know, and for my people too, Brother, you know, because that success, you know, I guess converts into success as well, you know, and I think we're in the seat of the engine room of change, you know, you and I, we have a voice in a certain way, you know, you got the radio, I've got it through the orchestral, you know, performances and other collaborations that I do. And so, you know, anything that I feel that Mum can be a part of, that's special, you know. And so Mum getting that up there, you know, that was real solid, you know. Mm. And so it's, again, we contributing that back to community and to Mum.
Yeah, you could tell just how proud Aunty Dunway was. And I think you nailed the hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, those who've come before us, you know, and probably couldn't have imagined a generation ago or two generations ago, one of our mob winning such a prestigious award.
Yeah, you know, yeah. So very honoured, Brother, you know, and that's for the mob.
AFL Grand Final, pretty big audience, a few million. What was that like getting up there with the Guyana Band and being a part of that amazing rendition?
My history with Shane Howard, like, well, Shane goes back to when I was 11 years old, Brother. I met Shane when he was on the Top Half Folk Festival tour to Mount Isa, and he actually asked Dad, when he's still alive, Uncle Alf, to welcome him on the country, him and his band. So that's how far I go back with Shane. And that song, you know, obviously resonates to a lot of Australians, but also for our mobs, you know. So to perform that song after its pretty much its 40th anniversary year, that was last year, you know, it's very special, you know. They have those old connections because, again, you know, all our mob that are, you know, I guess in certain circles, you know, in our life now as, you know, 30-plus-year-olds or 40-plus-year-olds, you know, it's in our DNA, Brother, to sort of like stand up and be proud of the knowledge that's been passed on and our experiences, you know. And so we're at that sort of turning point, you know, me and you, you know, and other mob around our age, you know.
We'll like go back in time a little bit if we can, and back to the early days. What was it like for young William Barton growing up in Mount Isa?
Yeah, Brother, look, you know, I loved school for a period of time. But, you know, like the music and the culture was for me, you know. And so, you know, I left school quite young and then started touring. You know, my first overseas tour was with the brothers from Dunooch Dancers from Narraway.
Oh, yeah.
And I met Dunooch Mob and it's sort of a funny story, but not, like, I mean, we played for NAIDOC Day in Long Bay Jail in maximum security for the inmates, for the mob in there. And Uncle Roger Knox was in there. Christina knew just as she was becoming famous with her sign up with the Deli Red Shoes, and Sean Chilbar was dancing with as a backup dancer with her, and Sean Chilbar had come up to Dad actually and said, oh yeah, I'm Calcutta too, you know, I'm up there. And so my dad Uncle Alf gave Sean's firstborn child her name, which is Calcutta.
Yeah, wow.
Calcutta meaning eagle, Dunga. And Uncle Archie was there. So it was Deli, you know, like those sort of memories, you know. But definitely the upbringing, man, either, you know, having that, I guess, connection to country, going out with mum and dad to our cultural sites, you know, on Carlton Hill Station, you know, was very special. And that's where, I guess, you know, even if you didn't know at the time, like, these moments of inspiration, you know, I reflect on them now. And in fact, right now, this moment, brother, I'm looking at this photo of mum and I across on the wall there in the house here in Sydney. And I'm painted up and I'm about 11 years old and mum's in like a gown, a nice Aboriginal coloured gown, a flag gown, and we're out on country on Carlton Hills, you know, doing this little special performance for some friends near a waterhole. And remembering the smell of the Spinifex grass and the Spinifex wax that you get from the Spinifex grass when you want to patch up the didgeridoo or make a stone axe. And I remember with the other old fellas, you know, the old uncles, you know, they're making them number 7 boomerangs, you know. So, yeah, those little memories there, you know. And the rugged beauty, you know, the rugged beauty, brother, of that you know, it's an eerie old country out there, you know. It's very powerful, you know, that Kalkadunga country, as it is with all of our mother countries throughout Australia. But that connection there, and, you know, so I don't get back out to the eyes much, but when I do, you know, connect with the old family and friends and go and visit Dad. The Dad's buried out on Carlton Hill Station, which is about 80 kilometres outside of Mount Isa.
An important time in this country. I suppose a pivotal turning point we'll see at the end of the year when the referendum for the Voice. We've seen a lot of pushback, and it's not surprising, I suppose, from mainstream that you know, there is that sort of fight back for wanting to change the constitution. What are your thoughts on where we sit, you know, currently in this here country? I mean, you've been able to navigate and I suppose straddle the two worlds. Your thoughts, brother.
Yeah, look, my thoughts, my first words out of my mouth, as William Barton, is what's going to make us strong is our culture, brother, and our language of the land, each and every one of the Indigenous mobs throughout Australia. It's important for us to have a voice, and whatever that means, meaning if you're up on stage singing your language, that's a voice, you know, and that's representing our history and our culture, and then that sort of amplifies to our non-Indigenous brothers out there and sisters, you know, that is the voice. That's the simple voice that we want, connection and acknowledgement, you know, to country and I guess having a say in the Constitution. I know there's mixed feelings from, you know, even mob out there and that, you know, but I think if we can just reinforce our language of the land, your land, your lingo from your mob and your songs and your dances and your artwork. You know, this is a pivotal time. You know, this is a very special time in Australia's history, as it is with the musical history as well. You know, like I'm seeing more and more, you know, Indigenous composers, you know, getting that title of actually composing music for Western Orchestra. That's reconciliation in itself, brother, you know, and I've been fortunate that I've been a part of that journey for over 25 years. And same with The Voice, you know, that's not a thing that, you know, like the political name for The Voice. It's been around for years, you know. And so I feel that if we can have a voice for grassroots mob, which is what it's about, you know, and never forget where we come from. I don't forget where I come from, brother, you know. So that's my voice, to reamplify that. Okay, a young fella from Mount Isa, Kalkadunga country, can have a dream and all of a sudden travel the world over this course of 20 years and have a condensed, you know, experience of life and journey, you know. That's all, you know.
Well said, bros. Your performance on Q&A recently was very moving, very powerful piece there. And, you know, since then we've seen, unfortunately, you know, Stan Grant have to step away due to, I suppose, you know, the ongoing ongoing, I suppose, assault on him, which is very, very sad. But what I've said to you before is you've managed to navigate the two worlds, I suppose, you know, the mainstream but staying true to yourself and the mob. Have you managed to navigate, you know, your way through that and your thoughts on Uncle Stan there?
Yeah, look, well, Uncle Stan, you know, it's a hard decision for him to make, you know, because he has a voice too, of course, and so, you know, I think hopefully he'll come back and be stronger, you know, with the people who need to support him, you know, support him in his voice and journey. For me, navigating all that, you know, yeah, it is a fine balance. And you're not going to please everyone, you know. But you know what? I want to look after my mental health first. And so, even right now, I'm about to go for my 20K walk, brother. You know, So that's my journey. And even though I'm not on my Kalkadunga country, I'm down here. You know, Sydney way. You're all mob and that, and I'm in Gadigal, and I'm going to go for a walk and disconnect. And so that's my time out because when I guess you get to a certain level of profile, I guess, in the Western world, you know, like, you know, you become extraordinarily busy and sometimes a bit overwhelmed with your workflow.
And people want to beat you down too.
Yeah. And so I just continue to think of what am I doing? Is it the right thing intentionally? You know, so when I go for my walk, it is about, you know, my intention is about connection to the old people and the ancestors and where are we going to be in 40 years time from now? You know, so I've just turned 42. What's the next 40 years for me? And that's about me becoming fit and healthy, you know, and seeing if I can get to 80 plus, you know. And so we've got to look after ourselves first, you know, and then you can be strong. You can learn your language, you know, your dances, and be more open-minded to listening. Because we got to listen too, you know, to ourselves. But as long as you have the right intention, brother, you know, I think you're okay, you know. And if you're wrong somewhere along the track, it's okay to be wrong too, you know. Don't beat yourself up about it, and you just keep on getting it right. And so that connection of getting things right is between my mob, myself, but also the non-Indigenous mob as well, you know. How can we move forward in this, in what is considered a great nation of the world, but, you know, there are some underlying things that, you know, have to roll out, you know, and here we are, brother, in 2023. And I feel that music and culture and language is going to be, you know, one of those sort of the underdog turning points for humanity in Australia, brother.
William Barton.
I'm going to sing it up.
Yes. Yeah. William Barton, we want to thank you so much, as always, for joining us here on Triple A Murray Country and for being our guest today on Let's Talk Black Excellence.
Thank you, brother.